And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a very historic day in the Chiefs' kingdom. You have seen the announcement of Andy Reid as the head football coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, the 13th head coach in Chiefs history, announced on January the 7th, 2013. Andy Reid, of course, comes here after 14 years as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Prior to that, was a distinguished assistant with the Green Bay Packers during a World Championship season, and then prior to that, also a very impressive resume, including 3 years at the University of Missouri when he was on Bob Stoll's staff. Very shortly, I will be having a sit-down one-on-one with Andy Reid. He's headed here next after he finishes on the podium here at One Arrowhead Drive, and then we'll have a chat with Andy Reid. Quite honestly, how difference does a week make? Think back at this time 7 days ago. Romeo Crennel had just been released as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a great deal of uncertainty about what the Chiefs were going to do. What was the future going to be like? 7 teams needed a head coach. A week later, the Kansas City Chiefs became the aggressor. They became the most aggressive team out of those 7 needing a head coach, because a week later, the Chiefs have their head coach in Andy Reid. Only one other team has a coach, and that's Doug Marrone being announced by the Buffalo Bills. Coach Kelly deciding to stay at Oregon. Things could be very different if the Chiefs had not been very assertive and very aggressive in moving forward. They saw their guy, and they were able to get Andy Reid as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk with Andy very shortly, but we're also going to talk with Clark Hunt. Just stay logged on to kcchiefs.com all throughout the coming days, because we're going to go through this historic event. Andy Reid has a terrific background. 14 very productive years in Philadelphia, 5 NFC championship games, a trip to the Super Bowl, double-digit playoff victories. And for Andy Reid, his presence on the sideline is very profound.
Listen. Two things on that, because you're way better than that. 2 things. You jumped. You don't need to jump. Okay, the other thing is, this is unfamiliar territory out there. So you got to focus in. You focus it all the way in. Squeeze the tip of it, the tip of the ball. Be that accurate with it. Squeeze the tip of the ball, and then look it all the way into the tuck. Right? And you have to over-exaggerate it when you're out in the field there.
Everybody working. Now challenge each other here. This is a 4-minute drill. Now this is a drill. So you just come off. It's recognition up front. And then we're going to spot and give the defense a certain look and the offense a certain look as we go. You only have 3 plays here, right? So there are 3 plays, and I don't need collisions. I don't need any of that. I just want recognition. Get to your spots. All right, here we go. Ones are up, huh? Ones up. Let's go. Ones up. Ones up. Let's go. All right, last one right here. Last one right here. Twos are up next. Twos next. All right, a little bounce on our step here, baby. Let's go. 1 speed to the hole and 1 speed through the hole. When you push it up, you're kind of reading what the quarterback's doing. You were watching his eyes. You push it up, and then you come back fast and aggressive, or you sit. But, I mean, the top of your route kind of got sloppy on it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't know if he goes like this, and then he pulls up, and then he comes right back to you.
Yeah.
Right? He goes, you there, boom, back to you.
Okay.
All right, let's get a little water up. Water up. Water up. Let's go.
Your head can't come up at all.
Yeah.
So if you know you got a hard A-gap penetrator, and we're running that side, then you just got to drag. You got to drag your head. So if you stand, if you snap, stand up and try to walk.
Ain't gonna make it.
You just gotta fight the head across.
Yes, sir.
Right. The one point though is always know what's happening with your clock.
Daddy, you okay?
All right, just stay in tune with your clock the whole time. That's the one thing you can get out of it.
Yeah, I need you right here.
So you know, you know exactly where you're at. Then if he surprises you, just put it on. If at all possible, you don't let that happen right there. You have 7 seconds left on the clock. You probably had 10 right there. So you don't let him get out of bounds. That's key right now. 0 timeouts, man. You do everything possible to keep him in bounds here. All right, here we go. Last play.
Yeah, sound that horn. We're at the Ford Suite at Arrowhead Stadium in one of the more historic days in Chiefs history. And now we need to bring in the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt. Clark, you and I had a conversation, both publicly and privately, a week ago about this time. How different a difference 7 days have made. What about the last 7 days and the decision to make Andy Reid your next head coach?
Well, it has been a big 7 days, and of course, a week ago we were coming off the very difficult season and beginning the search for our next head coach. Going into this search, I was hopeful that we would be able to come up with somebody like Andy Reid, but had no idea that it would come together as quickly as it did. By Thursday, Friday of last week, we knew he was going to be the next head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. It was one of the worst-kept secrets that I've ever been part of, but that's all right. When you have somebody as accomplished as Andy Reid, it's hard to keep things a secret, and we're just delighted to be able to officially announce him today.
The kingdom is excited. Now, one thing we mentioned last Monday was the competitive environment. 7 teams were needing head coaches. You were able to – you're first in this. You took the initiative. How important was that to get your plan in place in such an expedient fashion?
Well, I think certainly going into the search being organized was very important. I think we were also fortuitous. He told me that the very first phone call that he took after he had met with his players in Philadelphia was my call. And that just tells you a little bit that it was meant to be. I was able to get the interview tentatively scheduled at that point for Wednesday. Which allowed us to, I think, jump in front of some of the other teams that he wanted to visit with. I had a sense in the back of my mind that he was interested, but you never know. I knew it would be competitive. We also had some other candidates that we interviewed, very, very outstanding coaches who will, I think, one day for sure be a coach in the National Football League. And we had other coaches that we wanted to interview. But just like he canceled the interviews that he had the rest of the week, we did the same thing. We got focused on trying to get an agreement pulled together. He wanted to come to Kansas City, bring his wife to Kansas City so that she could see it before they made a final decision. So we had a site visit on Friday. It was a little bit like recruiting somebody for college. And they loved everything about Kansas City, from the fans they ran into to the facilities here at Arrowhead, the staff that we have here with the Chiefs. Everything was a big plus for him, and by the time we got to dinner on Friday night, we had a deal.
Well, you got your man signed to the National Letter of Intent, to give your college analogy, but those 9 hours in Philadelphia at that FBO had to be incredible. You've been a part of some real history now. You were part of making sure there was labor peace in 2011, more than you've been given credit for. But those 9 hours... what were those 9 hours like in getting this deal done?
Well, I'll tell you that they were the easiest 9 hours I've ever spent with somebody. For as accomplished as Andy is on the sideline, he is a very, very engaging person who you can talk to about anything, whether it's football, family, life in general. We could have easily gone way past 9 hours, just talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and his passion for the National Football League and his relationship with my father, Lamar, and my mother, Norma. That was all very important to him, and I could tell he knew a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs. He impressed me in that he had taken the time in the day or day and a half that he had to watch all 16 of our games from this season, so that he was familiar with the personnel. So when we got into discussing that, it was from a solid base of knowledge. So it was just a great 9 hours. I'll certainly never forget it. Ironically, the Eagles ownership group walked through the FBO on their way out to go interview other candidates while we were in there doing it. One of the unique things about it, they were kind enough to alert the media that we were in there, so then we had the media presence at the FBO. And Andy's so easy with all that. None of that, really bothers him. And we just had a great time together, and it laid the foundation for getting the deal done.
Part of this excitement goes back to also our conversation a week ago in the change of schematic, the way that things are going to be done differently now. You mentioned the right mix of chemistry last Monday in having a direct report, coach to you, President Mark Donovan to you and to Andy, and then your general manager. What about that mix of chemistry and what that means as you move forward?
Yeah, well, one thing Coach Reid believes in is chemistry, whether it's in the locker room with the players, among his coaching staff, or at the executive level in the organization. And we're going to start the search for our next general manager right away. In fact, we've already had some interviews. I don't have a timeline for that right now, but we're going to be working on it quickly. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to have a general manager and a head coach who can work together. You don't want them to always agree, but you want them to be able to discuss their differences, you know, when they view a player differently, and work through that and get to a conclusion that's in the best interest of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You stated it when you introduced Andy that he fit your description of last Monday right down the line. You kind of alluded to it already, but your description of the computer-generated perfect general manager to fit into this mix would be what?
Well, it's somebody who's a sharp talent evaluator. That's probably the most important thing. I would love to have somebody who's been part of a successful organization, a successful philosophy in scouting players. I think that's important. Somebody who's a good communicator, just coming back to that point about the communication between the head coach and the GM. Somebody who's a good manager, can manage the staff well. And then, as I mentioned already, somebody who's going to work well with the general manager, with the head coach.
Final question, and it has to deal with what you would tell the fan base. What do you tell the Chiefs Kingdom on this day?
Well, I would tell them how excited we are to be into 2013 and be able to announce Andy Reid as the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't wait for training camp to get here. I can't wait for that first preseason game. I can't wait to get the season underway. I think we're all going to be very excited and pleased with what we see on the field.
Congratulations on this day and this past week, and a fabulous job of bringing Andy Reid to Kansas City.
Mitch, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, on this amazing day as Kansas City turns its fortunes back to being a factor in the AFC and the National Football League. When we come back, we will bring to you the 13th head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, after this on KCChiefs.com. Welcome back to the Ford Suite on this special edition of Chiefs Live on KCChiefs.com. An incredible day here. The energy in this building is amazing. Andy Reid hired as the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, the 13th head coach in Chiefs history. Is Chairman Clark Hunt just with us on KCChiefs.com to talk about what this week has been like. Kansas City was first, jumping ahead of all the other six teams that needed a head coach, and Kansas City took the initiative to get the man that they wanted, a man who has been successful in winning division championships, successful in getting to conference championship games, successful in getting to a Super Bowl. And yet now he tries to become the eighth person in NFL history to be a coach who was close to winning a Super Bowl, but then winning at the next stop. And that list is distinguished when you think of Mike Shanahan and Don Shula, John Gruden, Bill Belichick is in that group, Dick Vermeil, Tony Dungy, Tom Coughlin, all guys that were close to getting to winning a Super Bowl with their prior team and then winning the Lombardi Trophy with their second team. And that's what has rejuvenated Andy Reid to come here to Kansas City to make this a championship franchise once again. Now, coming up on KCChiefs.com, we need to have you stick with us because Kendall Gammon will join me here in a moment, the long snapper, and we'll talk about this day, what it means, and even more importantly, what it means from this time forward. And then we will also check in with Derek Gunn. He's one of a member of a large contingent of Philadelphia media who have come from the city of brotherly love to the city of fountains to kind of track this decision by Andy Reid. Andy with Philadelphia for 14 seasons. That's a big footprint to leave in that city, in that community, and a very passionate fan base. But now Andy comes back to the Midwest, if you will. And again, he was at the University of Missouri for 3 years on Bob Stoll's staff from 89 to 91. But then he was also part of one of the greatest staffs in NFL history because he was part of the Packer group of the 1990s. And if you want to just look at the names that were involved on that staff, just Google Mike Holmgren's staff in Green Bay and what they were able to do. And, of course, winning a World's Championship with Brett Favre in the 1996 season. But Andy was part of that, and that catapulted him into the head chair in Philadelphia to be the Eagles' head coach. If there is one observation I would make, and people have asked me since Andy was announced as the head coach of the Chiefs, the fact that he is a CEO, this guy is a leader of men, he's proven to be a leader, and in this role as a head coach in the National Football League, it's become even increasingly this way over the years, to be able to manage a huge staff, a multi-million dollar budget, and do it in concert with the rest of the football organization takes a special human being. The Chiefs think they have that special human being in Andy Reid. We come back, we'll check in with the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, plus we'll see his beginning in Philadelphia and kind of take him back in time as we get ready for a brand new time here in the Chiefs Kingdom.
Let's go. Got to have a good one today now. Let's go. All right, here we go. When we're done with stretch, we'll bring it up in the middle here. Now, you get the night off tonight, but understand that's a reward for the practice. So that's a gift for good practices. You have to understand how that thing works. And we just keep pushing this thing, but you do have the night off tonight if you give me a good one this morning. All right, let's divide it up. All right, let's go. Come on, fellas, we're moving now. Let's go. And we're walking around, pick it up. Exploding off of that football now. Every snap you got, explode. Push the stiffness right out of you, right here. Ted, not too obvious now. Ted, not too obvious with that fullback now. That's better right there. Use those big bodies now. Protect the football. Come on. Catch the football first in your hands. Keep that ball leather off of plastic, Gels. Let's go. In your hands and squeeze it. Receivers, you can't see a thing, receivers, if you're looking at the ground in your motion. See what the defense is doing, right? Keep your eyes up. See what's happening around you. I see aggressive releases now. Tight target, right? We don't give the defender a thing to work on. Protect your body. This is a 10-yard drill. It's over at 10 yards. And then get back. It's not 20 yards down the field.
10 yards, fellas. 10 yards.
I think I just said that. Am I speaking French? Let's go. We need reps on this. Reps. Let's go. That's why we work 10 yards. Reps.
First step is a directional step, right? Second step starts the fight. Third step wins the fight. So what's going to help you set the third step? That's your hips. And that explosion between hips and hands. Boom. butt, separate, and then climb.
Well, welcome back to KCChiefs.com, and give the formal welcome to the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. It's awesome to have you here.
Well, thanks, Mitch. It's great to be here.
Why Kansas City is the question of the day. Why now? Why Kansas City? Your decision to come here?
Well, listen, number one is the Hunt family. I had an opportunity to meet with Clark and spent 9 hours with him, and it was a grinder. But you just know. You know, you've been in this business long enough, you know about the Hunt family. I can't tell you about the fans. I mean, the fans are out of their minds. It's a tough, tough place to bring to play. I've had to come in here with teams and play, and it's brutal. We love the area. I had a chance to coach at the University of Missouri, and we grew fond of Columbia, and I recruited Kansas City, so I got to know a lot of the area here, and the support in the organization. When you've been in it long enough, you appreciate it. And so it didn't take but a phone call, and I was there for the interview. I was showing up.
Now, Clark said it was the quickest 9 hours of his life. What was it like for you?
Well, to be honest with you, they brought a lot of people. And Clark had that plane fully loaded. And so the day went by fast. I mean, very fast, actually. And we probably could have kept going. But we called it off after nine, and I was hoping that he would offer me the job. So I was very glad that it worked in that direction.
Well, the whole Chiefs kingdom is glad that you're here. Now, you mentioned the fan base, and you brought two teams in here and won two tough games, 0-1 and 0-5, and it was hard for NFC teams to win here, and you did it. But you also lost here with that 96 world champion Packer team. How do you relight this fan base to bring back that kind of fervor next year to this team?
Yeah, listen, first of all, they're an important part of this, a very important part. It's my responsibility to make sure that I coach this football team into a winning football team. And it's important that the GM and I bring in, we get the right players here to do that. And so once the general manager's hired, that's when that process starts. You add to the foundation that's already been built. There's a changeover that takes place in organizations over the years. And so it's important that we continue to build on the nucleus that's here, continue to build it with good players, and then coach the heck out of them. That's what you've got to do. And so I owe that to the fans. And they'll listen, they want a good football team, and they want to support. And it's important that I present that to them, give them that opportunity.
Andy, Clark and I have talked publicly and privately about this new schematic change, the right mix of chemistry, a direct line of report to him. You working closely with Mark Donovan, who you worked with in Philadelphia, the president of the team, and whomever the new general manager is going to be. What kind of energy can that create when you have that chemistry among those folks?
Well, I think it's important. I think it's important for the whole organization that they're all pulling together. And when we're all doing that at the same time, good things happen. And that includes the players. They're a big part of this organization. So it's whether it's front office, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, we all have strength amongst ourselves. And so that's an important thing. And listen, Mitch, in reality, the general manager, the head coach, we should all be working together to get the job done. That's the important thing. There should be a mutual trust between all of us. It's not who makes the final decision or this. You work it together, and then you make the decision together, and good things happen. If you get into the power struggles here and then, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. That's been proven over time in this game. So everybody checks their ego at the door. Let's get in there and grind, and let's get it right and go win some games, man.
Timetable, assembling your staff. You were part of one of the greatest staffs in NFL history with that Packers staff in the 90s. You've had great staffs with the Eagles. What do you want to get done, and the timetable of getting your staff done here in Kansas City?
Well, I hate putting timetables on things. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. I think it does take time, though. We're taking over a team here that was the last the bottom of the birdcage there. We're the last in the league right now. So we've got to build that up, and there's got to be an energy that I'm going to expect from the players and from the coaches. But I think another thing that has been proven over time in this league is if you have good coaches and you have good players, good things happen. So it's my job to go out and hire these coaches and make sure that I bring the right guys in here to the job. They've got some good coaches on this team that were here in the past years. Romeo did a nice job, and I had a chance to interview all of his guys. So he had some sharp guys on his staff. But it's important that those two groups kind of pull together as one and make sure that we do it. And you need talent on both sides to do that. It's not that. That part's not that hard to figure out. Good coaches, good players, good success.
And we're ready for that. Roster evaluation, Andy, the current roster, and then everybody wants to know about quarterback. And you've coached, you had Favre in the 90s. What about the quarterback position, but then evaluating this entire roster?
Yeah, well, listen, you want to make sure you evaluate the quarterback position right, number one. So better check out what you have right now. You better find out exactly why the product is the way the product is. And so you do that, and then you've got trades, you've got the draft, you've got free agency, you have all these things that go into it. The one mistake that you can't make is you go in with the number one pick and you just pick a quarterback. You better make sure it's got to be the right person at that position. And that's what people get in trouble. They force picks. Particularly when you're picking that high. And so maybe it's this year, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the guys you already have here, maybe it's free agency, maybe you make a trade somewhere. But we've got to get the general manager hired, we've got to dig in and figure all that out.
Well, let me take you back. You decided you were in close to a similar position when you took Donovan McNabb in 99. What about that decision and trying to replicate it, I guess, as you move forward here in Kansas City?
Well, I've got to get in and see what the field is out there. I've got to see that. And we drafted Donovan with the second pick in the draft. There were a handful of quarterbacks that people felt were pretty good prospects. I'm not that far along in that process right now. I'm just coming out of the season. The general manager, he'll be further along in that process because that's what they do 365 days of the year over and over. They're searching for players and throughout the country. So this will take a little time. It's not going to happen right now. We've just got to keep working and make sure we do what's right and for this football team. And if you can kind of keep that philosophy in mind, then you're going to be okay.
You have the number one overall pick in the draft. That means you also have the number one pick in successive rounds. The Chiefs have control of this draft. What's the proper way of using that equity, in your opinion, and what you've seen work in this league over time?
Get good players, right? Get good football players. You start going, well, I have to have this position. You're going to make mistakes. Again, that's proven. So go in and get some good football players. Add them to this organization. Try to stick with the principle of I'm going to do what's right for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it'll work out okay. It'll work out okay. You're building a foundation, and that's what's so important.
Final question. You've got a chance to address the Chiefs Kingdom right now. What do you tell them?
First of all, I love the Chiefs Kingdom, man. I love that term, huh? Sea of red, the Chiefs Kingdom. Doggone, man. Oh, that's exciting. They broke out the tie. If you get a close-up on that tie, it's a Chiefs tie. Huh? No, I'm liking that. I'm
through
liking
and through.
That. Oh, I'm liking that. So I used to have red hair. I'm kind of into the red. I'm into red. But I appreciate them. The fans of the Kansas City Chiefs, that was one of the drawing factors for me coming here, was this stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, when it's packed and rocking, there's nothing like it, man, in this league. And so it's my job to make sure that I get the right people in here to do the right job, and that's to win football games for them, and that's I'm going to do my best to do that.
Let's do this.
All right, Mitch. Fire up, baby.
Andy Reid, the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and yes, it is time to get excited. When we come back, Kendall Gammon, the long snapper. We'll check in on what this day means as we move forward. We'll be back after this on KCChiefs.com.
And welcome back to our special live coverage on KCChiefs.com. Today, the Chiefs' kingdom has moved forward. Andy Reid, the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, with me now is the long snapper, a 15-year snapper in the National Football League. Kendall, it is hard for me to contain my excitement.
We need one of these right now, right now. Folks, if you're not excited yet, you should be, because what I saw today is a coach who's ready to be here. He's ready to go. Mitch, you talked about it, and we've talked about it. You keep hearing this, do the right thing. He talks about do the right thing. This is a guy who's not concerned with who is right, but rather what is right. And that is refreshing. I cannot wait. Some of the things he's talking about in terms of how he's going to evaluate things, the fact that he had watched all 16 games before the interview took place. Are you kidding me? That you cannot help. But, I mean, I'm watching that interview, and I was about to giggle. I mean, really, it was just fabulous.
Well, it's just amazing what can be done now with this football franchise moving forward, and I get the sense that it can happen very quickly. But the first impression to me, and I mentioned this earlier, was the fact that he comes across as a CEO, as a leader, someone who can interconnect this entire football franchise. And that hasn't been the case here for a long time. I think you can maybe even go back to Marty Schottenheimer in the late 90s. But what about the fact that Andy Reid is a CEO and handles this chair?
Well, I agree with what you say, Mitch, and the fact that he's looking at this as a 10-year job, I think, or more. This is a guy who's looking at the big picture, like you said. He's not living for today. He talked about it. He's got to evaluate everybody and see where they go, make the right decisions. He sees the foundation has been laid with some things. There's some good players here. But when it comes down to it, this is a guy who you would rather hire to run any multi-million-dollar corporation. He gets the big picture, and that's what you have to have these days in the NFL as a head coach. You are, as you said it, the CEO.
Well, again, some immediate evaluation has to be made. Let's start with the staff, and he alluded to the fact that I used the word timetable. He didn't want to hear that word. It goes back to your phrase of doing it correctly, doing it right. But there's a chance that he could put together an outstanding staff. You hear the names of Brad Childress or Castillo coming back to be the offensive line coach. Your thoughts on what he can put together here as a staff?
Well, the fact is, I think there's very few coaches, Mitch, in the league today that have more respect than Andy Reid does. So when he makes a call to you, you're going to take that call, and if you missed it, you're going to get back with him as soon as possible. So, yeah, he said, you know, time, he didn't want to go on a timetable, but time is of the essence. And the fact is, you've got to go back to Clark Hunt and what he did. We're on the front end of the curve. Now you've got the choice of the coaches going on. And again, you've got a head coach who's respected, who's going to get a call back from everybody. The thought of the coaching staff that he can put together is mind-boggling, really.
Well, you talked about how important is it that Kansas City was first in this? I mean, a week ago, I'm sitting down with Clark Hunt going, seven teams need coaches. The Chiefs were first. Only Buffalo has filled with hiring Doug Marrone. That means five teams are left looking for coaches. Coach Kelly's going to stay at Oregon. All of a sudden, we've seen some different dynamics. This isn't 09 where they're waiting 30 days to hire a coach. This is done.
Well, you're right, and you cannot underestimate how important that is. And that, again, give kudos to the chairman, Clark Hunt, and what he did, getting out there, getting on the docket. It was interesting in talking with Clark off the air a little bit how, you know, they're on pins and needles a little bit because this is the guy they targeted. You don't know what he's thinking. Meanwhile, he talks about it in the press conference, Andy does, in terms of, you know, he's on pins and needles because he hopes that he gets offered the job. So he's very, very excited about things. It's just it's a good situation because you have seven teams to draw from in terms of assistant coaches, and you have to include the Chiefs as well. And he talked about it. I love this also in the press conference. He talked about the fact that he got in here early this morning and started talking with the coaches. The assistant coaches went from oldest to youngest. And this is a guy who looks energized, looks ready to go. And, again, as a Chiefs fan, you have to be excited about that.
Well, we're following some of your responses here in the chat room. People are saying, talking about the quarterback position, but there's an underlying theme here. They trust Andy Reid with quarterbacks. I mean, this is a guy that coached Brett Favre back when the Packers won the World Championship in the late 90s. We saw him do great things with Donovan McNabb, taking him from a draft pick to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. It then also takes some guys that were drafted in later rounds and make them productive players.
Let's just talk about the quarterback position in and of itself, the fact that you've got a guy who's been kind of a connoisseur of quarterbacks
right.
in his career and what that means as the Chiefs move forward.
Well, he talked about it in the QB situation. He wants to do the right thing, and he doesn't know what that is yet because he has to evaluate. But when you do look at it, of course, in 99, he takes Donovan McNabb. He does a great job and really navigates a pretty good job in terms of there was five quarterbacks available back then, Akili Smith being one, Tim Couch. There's the others that Cade McNown, I think. Did he take the right QB? Well, he did. You saw what he did. But it makes me wonder if his penchant for dealing with quarterbacks, had he taken somebody else, would that have been the right QB also? This is a guy that has a proven record of working with people. When you look at his draft picks over the 14 years, rather, in Philadelphia, six of those picks were four QBs, with the exception of Andy Hall. You had A.J. Feely, Kevin Cobb, Mike Kafka, and Nick Foles. They all had fair amounts of success in the NFL. So this is a guy who has a track record, and you said it. I think the Chiefs Kingdom trust that he's going to make the right decision, and whatever that is, he'll deal with it in the right fashion.
Going back to your 99 and taking McNabb, that was, I mean, to pick the right guy. There were others that
right.
the outside sources said he should take, and many of those ended up being a bust. Guys like Cade McNown comes to mind, or
right.
Tim Couch, but he seemingly got the right guy in that draft, or one of the right guys.
Right.
I think maybe it's important here to tell Chiefs fans that maybe this first-round pick isn't a quarterback if he doesn't feel like it's the right decision. But you could find that guy possibly in the second or third round.
You certainly could, and he alluded to that in the press conference. And the fact is, Andy Reid is a coach who's very comfortable in his own skin. He's not going to make the popular decision. He's going to make the decision which he thinks gives the team the best chance to win. You can go back to the Ricky Williams. Everybody in Philadelphia wanted him to draft Ricky Williams. He went a different direction, and it ended up working out good. So this is a guy who knows what he wants. He has a good plan. I think he just sits down and he looks at the facts and figures out what gives him the best chance to win. And I know I keep repeating that, but really that's what the NFL is you look at what you have and look at what chances you have in the draft, in free agency, and you figure out what gives you the best chance to win.
I want to ask you about the defensive philosophy. Well, before we go to that, I want to ask you about overall offensive philosophy, because it appears that Andy's background is West Coast. I've heard people say that, well, he's just enthralled with the passing game and doesn't want to run it, although I've seen Westbrook and
right.
LeSean McCoy and some other guys run the football for him. But what about, let's just take his overall offensive philosophy and your thoughts.
Well, the West Coast offense, he's taken a little bit different wrinkle on it in terms of he likes to get over the top. He likes those receivers that can get over the top. And he also likes hitting slants and maybe let him run as well. So it's a combination of the two. And when you talk about the run side of things, if I'm Jamal Charles, I'm a happy camper right now because I'm going to get the ball in the flats in space, and that's what Jamal loves. So you should be excited, Jamal Charles, and you should be excited, Chiefs fans, for that. I think when it comes down to it, and you talked about it in the run situation, he doesn't run as much. You know what? Those are glorified runs is when it comes down to it. When you put them out and you have screens and things of that nature, it's just glorified runs, even if the ball is in the air. But when you stretch the field vertically, now you all of a sudden have a chance to hit other things also.
We're going to talk with you in the future here. We're going to talk in just a few minutes with me. We're going to bring you back because I want to talk about defensive philosophy, and that is huge when you look at evaluating this roster if you're going to go 3-4-4-3. But also maybe the most important statistic of Andy Reid being a head coach in Kansas City and why fans should be excited. We'll get to all that in a moment, but we're going to bring some Philly flavor into this when we come back on this special edition. Andy Reid is the 13th head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and yes, the fire is relit with the Chiefs Kingdom.
Welcome back to KCChiefs.com. Andy Reid is the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and now for some perspective of the last 14 years and what this means for Kansas City, welcome Derek Gunn from Comcast Philadelphia.
Thank you for having me.
Great to be here, Derek. Of course, there's tons of excitement here today in Kansas City. You've been around Andy for years. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Andy Reid, the football coach.
You're going to get a no-nonsense coach, very structured coach. He is the epitome of what players call the player's coach. He will never throw a player under a bus, even when we all know, anybody who watches football can tell when it's a player's fault. He will never single a player out to the media. He will never put an individual before himself. He takes every bullet. He probably runs one of the toughest practices you'll ever see in the NFL. Players hate going through his training camps, but as you can tell, his record will tell you, his players are as well-conditioned as anybody in the latter half of the season. Now, that wasn't quite apparent the last couple of seasons. Everything just unraveled on him. But in terms of the epitome of one of the top coaches in the NFL, I think you've got that in Andy Reid.
What happened the last couple of seasons? Because this guy's five NFC Championship games, takes the Eagles to a Super Bowl, consistent winner in a rock-hard division. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, fans would say, well, what happened there?
Well, he got away with what made him so successful in the early 2000s. He made some very hasty decisions when he assembled a coaching staff. He brought in Howard Mudd out of retirement. He took his offensive line coach, Juan Castillo, who played linebacker in college, played linebacker in the USFL, was an outstanding offensive line coach, and Juan had wanted to be a defensive coach for quite some time, so Andy finally gave in. And prior to that, he had Sean McDermott already on his staff when Jim Johnson was there. Sean basically wasn't ready to assume that role, and it cost him a job in 2 years. It cost Juan Castillo a job in less than 2 years. He brought in a defensive line coach in Jim Washburn before he named Juan Castillo his defensive coordinator. So he forced the defensive coordinator to adapt to a defensive line coach's scheme, which is unheard of. So Andy made a lot of decisions that you normally wouldn't see him make, and instead of the product being better, it got worse in a hurry.
But Derek, his body of work there mm-hmm. is really unprecedented. Maybe Vermeil's time, mm-hmm. But really better than that. I mean, he made the Eagles a consistent winner.
Absolutely.
In, again, a tough environment, trying to knock out the Giants and Cowboys and Redskins, what made him a consistent winner in Philly?
I think the fact that he knew how to get the most out of players. He inherited a team that already had good players, like Kansas City does. He inherited a team that was at the bottom and had nowhere to go but up, like Kansas City is. But he got those players to believe in him. He had a solid foundation of veteran players, and he instilled in those players, this is a no-nonsense locker room. And when younger players came in, they knew what was expected of them. You didn't have the inmates running the asylum. You had an established foundation from the coach, head coach, to the assistant coaches, to veteran players in that locker room. And it trickled down to younger players who stepped up in a hurry because they knew if they didn't perform up to expectation, they would not be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles organization. And let's face it, at that time, Andy Reid was one of the most successful coaches in the NFL, and a lot of players wanted to play for Andy Reid in Philadelphia. So if you wanted to play, you better get on boat real quick, or you were going to get off the boat in a hurry. And I think because of that consistency, Andy Reid was so successful because he was able to get his pick of the litter of players who wanted to come into Philadelphia by way of free agency.
You've got to know him well. I'm going to ask you about Andy Reid, the football coach. Yeah. What about Andy Reid, the man?
When you get him in front of the media, he's a straight-laced person. When you get him away from the camera, you will not find a more engaging person, quick-witted person, very a light, jovial type person. I had the opportunity to spend 3 days with him last summer in his home in Hollywood, California. He was being inducted into his high school Hall of Fame. And I wish more people got to see that side of Andy Reid. And whenever he and I would sit down and do one-on-one interviews, I would always ask him, why don't you let this side of you come out more? And his answer was, I'm not up there to be a clown. I'm up there to give you facts and information. I don't want to be the funny coach up there. I just want to get it over with. He didn't like being in front of the media. Didn't really care about giving media inside information. He gave you what he had to give you, and that was it. But when you get to know Andy away from the cameras, you will find that Andy Reid is as genuine and as real as you will find in a person.
It's somewhat comparable to the Marty Schottenheimer situation here in the 90s. He did a fabulous job mm-hmm. here. But there's sometimes a time for rejuvenation. I get the sense today from Andy Reid mm-hmm.
that this is a re-energized man coming to this job. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think he said it best at the podium when he said sometimes change is good. And I think Andy Reid knew that the last few years in Philadelphia had become stale. And sometimes we all need change to better ourselves and to challenge ourselves. And again, you look at the situation he's in right now, he's like a kid in a candy store. He gets to rebuild it all over again. He did it once. It's not like a new coach coming in out of the college ranks trying to do it the first time. He knows how to do it. He's going to bring in here a top-notch staff of assistant coaches, and if some of the names I'm hearing are coming here, he's going to have quality coaches. So it's almost like the kid looking under the tree on Christmas Day again because he's got a lot of new toys to play with.
Philadelphia is such a passionate market. Yeah. Kansas City is too when it comes to the Chiefs. But it seemed like Andy, for the most part, it takes a special human being, does it not, to handle that passion? Because we've seen it.
Absolutely.
You know, it can go and channel in a different way. How did Andy handle that when it was even the toughest of times?
I always said, and I always teased Andy, I said, you know, if you were a poker player, you'd probably be a multi-billionaire because you never know when Andy Reid's down, when he's up. He's always the same. He has thick skin. He knew how to handle it on the surface. Never let the media or the fans rattle him. And I tell you, there were times I've walked out of that tunnel after bad game situations when some of the things people have said to him would make even the strongest person stop and verbally engage him, but not Andy Reid. If it bothered him, you wouldn't know it until you got him home. And I think you have to have that kind of thick skin in this profession. It takes a special individual to coach in critical markets. Now, some markets you can get away with it. It's not as critical as some. But Andy Reid is a special person. He can handle anything thrown his way. Nothing will affect him on the surface.
Terry, thanks for being with us. Again, there's a lot of excitement here in Kansas City. We appreciate you coming all the way from Philadelphia to be a part of this day.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And before we let you go, just so everybody knows, the Chiefs will be going to Philadelphia to the Link this year to take on the Eagles. Why do I smell a Sunday night game with this one?
Not only that, why do I smell the first game of the season Sunday night type game?
I can see that. Too.
I can see it happening. The way the league makers are, schedule makers are, I can see it happening.
Well, we look forward to getting with you again, but thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Derek for being with us. Again, Andy Reid, the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. We come back, we'll bring back Kendall Gammon and talk about some of Andy's philosophies and his background after these messages. January 7th, 2013, you might just want to write it down right now because the Kansas City Chiefs are back. And with having control of the NFL draft, having the first overall pick, and now with Andy Reid as head coach, also a paradigm shift in the way that the Chiefs are going to do business with direct reports to the chairman, Clark Hunt, this is a day to be remembered. Rejoining me is Kendall Gammon, the 15-year NFL veteran.
before we had Derek Gunn come in and chat about it, which I thought was a very good interview, and he was very forthright about Andy and looking at him from a comprehensive basis. I want to ask you about defense and what Andy Reid's philosophy is. But you've also had a chance to talk to a former Philadelphia Eagle who a lot of our fans know.
Well, you're right. And I had a chance to talk with Mark Cimino, a former Wildcat. And he talked about Andy. And what he described to me is what I've seen today, a guy who's very secure with himself, Mitch. I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. He did describe him also as a player's coach. And when he says that, some people get this misconception that a player's coach is somebody that you can run over. No, it's anything but, quite honestly. They let you know what you're thinking. The one thing in the NFL that drives players nuts is when they get mixed messages from their coaches or they don't tell them what's going on. This guy's going to tell you, Andy Reid's going to tell you exactly what's on his mind. He can do it in a one-on-one setting. Mark said he can motivate you one-to-one, never going to yell at you, not going to embarrass you. We heard that in that last segment. But he has your complete and total respect. Now, one thing Mark did talk about is the fact that training camps were tough. That's something he remembered. That once they got into the season, he took care of the players more on the physical side of things. But in training camp, Andy figured out what was going on, and it was tough. Now, with the new CBA and everything going on there, certainly that has to be pared down a little bit. But make no mistake, those 2 hours that they can be out there, whether the camera's rolling, they're going to be working hard.
Just so you know, Mark Cimino, who now lives here in Overland Park, Smith Center Redmond, by the way, good hometown, was with the Philadelphia Eagles from 2003 to 2005, so he was part of Andy's best run. He gets all the way to the Super Bowl. I remember the night he was traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Eagles. It was here at Arrowhead Stadium during the preseason, and Cimino was looking at his playbook in the tunnel because I was talking. I've known Mark a long time, but he's like, I'm just trying to figure this out, and he had just been traded to Philadelphia, but later that became a very big part of both Andy Reid's life and Mark Cimino's life. But I'm hearing a mixed message from you. You're saying that Andy Reid's a player's coach, but that he has a difficult training camp. Those two don't necessarily always go together.
Well, you know what? I think the fans think is sometimes that a player's coach is somebody who's easy on the players, and it's anything but, quite honestly. When I say player's coach, I'm talking about a guy who you know what it's thinking, and they're not going to give you double signals, mixed messages, and you're going to know what they think. Even as a player, even if it's not what you want to hear, you want to hear the truth. And Andy, this is a man of integrity. And this is a guy who's going to tell you what he thinks, because really, that's what you want in a coach. I mean, as a teammate, you want the best 53 on there, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to get you the best 52 teammates he can.
And you're saying that a player will deal with a tough practice if they get the truth, and there's this trust factor.
There's no question. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're playing well, if you're winning, you can deal with those tough practices. It's part of it. And quite honestly, as I said earlier, the fact is with the new CBA, they can't be as tough as they used to be, but they'll be pushed as much as they can.
Well, you and I have talked about it so many times off air, and just so the fans know, we've had a gob of discussions, and it's been frustrating with what's gone on here, let's be honest. But I'll ask you, what was it like with the Steelers? You played in a Super Bowl with the Steelers. You were an AFC champion with the Steelers.
Right.
And I'm trying to get a feel of what that's like. Did the Chiefs kind of pick some of that up today by hiring Andy Reid?
I think they did. I had a chance to play for Coach Bill Cowher the first 4 years when I was with the Steelers, and Andy reminds me of him in the terms of the fact of I see a coach in Andy Reid who's going to pick a staff. He's going to let them do their job. He's not going to embarrass people. He's going to get on them sternly but fairly. That's what I had in Coach Cowher. And certainly it's what you want as a player. Now, you know, was Cowher all over me sometimes? He was. But it helped make me a better player. And I think that's what Andy Reid's going to do also. He's going to get into people. He's going to let them make sure they understand what's expected of them in a respectful way. But in the end, that helps get the best 53 on the team.
Now, when you think of Andy Reid, generally you think of an offensive coach. He was an offensive coach with the Green Bay Packers, offensive background when he got the head coaching job with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I'll ask you about his defensive philosophy here, because one of the questions at the news conference is one that's kind of murmuring throughout the Chiefs' kingdom. The Chiefs have been a 3-4 defense now for a while. Do they switch back to an even front, a 4-3 defense, which is what Andy has done? Let's just look at these career accomplishments. 6 NFC East championships in a tough division.
Right.
Okay, let's just keep that in mind. 4 conference championships, 4 conference championship game appearances, then a Super Bowl appearance. I think that might be 5 NFC championships. anyway, an AP or appearances. But anyway, AP Coach of the Year in 2002. Defensive philosophy, what do you think you're going to see from Andy Reid?
Well, he was asked about it on the 4-3 or the 3-4. That's a natural question, rather. And he really answered it with this. Listen, I'm going to hire the staff. We're going to evaluate people. We're going to figure out what type of personnel we had. He said, I played the 4-3 for a long time, but I've coached against the 3-4, so I know them both. And he does, and you know he does, so he's going to figure out what makes the most sense defensively. Now, when you look at his draft record, 9 of the 12 picks that he's had from 99 to 2012 were offensive or defensive linemen, and of those, 7 of the 9 were defensive linemen. So he does believe in that. Now, he believes in the passing game, the West Coast offense, but as far as defensively, the way you stop teams is you get after the passer also.
They've had some of the best off-edge rushers in the NFC during Andy's time. But there's a question here that's going to be big, too. Glenn Dorsey is a free agent, unrestricted
right.
free agent potentially. That list also includes guys like Dustin Colquitt, Brandon Albert. Some big decisions have to be made, Dwayne Bowe. But a guy like Glenn Dorsey, if you decide if you're going to move forward in the 4-3, and when you evaluate the Chiefs' personnel, I look at the linebackers.
Right.
I look at Tom Bahali. Where does he best fit in? Or a Justin Houston or a Derek Johnson? How does that factor in deciding what you're going to do?
Well, I think it's huge. You start with Derek Johnson, I think, in the fact that you've got a Pro Bowl linebacker who played the weak side linebacker in college and now has been into a 3-4 now. You could easily see him as a weak side linebacker in a 4-3 scheme. Some people project him to a middle backer. I personally don't see that. Certainly Tom Bahali can go back to a defensive end. That's what he played at Penn State, so you've got that as well. You've got some interior linemen in terms of, defensive linemen rather, in terms of Dontari Poe and, of course, Rapati Patoatua, and you talked about Dorsey. With Dorsey, you've got to make the decision as a free agent, do you bring him back or not? So a lot of the decisions, I keep going back to it, Mitch, but again, he's going to sit in there. I keep going back to this also. The fact is, I love the fact that he came in this morning when he's getting hired and he's talking with coaches. He's already at work. And I guarantee you, after this is all done, he's going right back into the film room or talking with coaches, figuring things out. He's ready to go. But defensive philosophy, I think it will have a lot to do with the coaching staff that he hires. And then I think they'll talk and they'll figure out what makes the most sense. What is the right thing?
The point you've made and what is apparent with him is he is secure in who he is.
Yes.
The best coaches I've been around, not only the National Football League, but in other sports, are those who are secure in their own skin.
Well, Derek talked about it in the last segment, is some of the things that he had yelled at him as he came up the tunnel these last couple of years, he said were really, really rough, and he never recognized that. He just goes and does his own thing. That's what you have to have in the NFL. I mean, you have to have thick skin. It is what it is. And if you don't have thick skin, you don't last in this league as a player, and you certainly don't last as a coach.
Here's the stat of the day that should get you excited as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. No coach has ever won a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl in the next place that they went to. In fact, more often than not, with the exception of a Bill Parcells, it's gone just the other way. Hank Stram gets included in this. He went to the Saints. You go right down the line. Vince Lombardi, Mike Ditka, George Seifert, Jimmy Johnson, even Mike Holmgren, who was successful but did not win a Super Bowl at the second spot. 7 different coaches in that category. There are 7, and here's where you get excited. There are 7 previous coaches who got close to a Super Bowl but didn't win it until their next stop, which would put Andy Reid in that category. But you look at guys like Don Shula, Mike Shanahan, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
These are guys that got
Coughlin, Vermeil.
They got close at their first stop. It's the next stop where they were able to win it. People ask if Andy Reid is still motivated. Does he still have fire to do this? It's real apparent that he's ready to do this.
Mitch, you're exactly right. And I think that's the key point. I think that's why there's a fire still in the belly. When you look at those guys who didn't fare well after they had won a Super Bowl, they've experienced it. They know what it's like. But when you look at this team right now in terms of what he's looking at and knows that he has a chance to get back to the Super Bowl and win it, that's why the fire burns, I believe.
Okay, the other exciting thing to me is the paradigm shift. And we've alluded to it earlier, but I think that to have the right personalities, first of all, is to have it shifted.
Right.
Okay, but secondly is to have the right personalities to work in this environment. Andy Reid, direct report to Clark Hunt. Mark Donovan, very key in this whole
right. no
7
question.
Days along with Clark Hunt, with a line of communication to Andy Reid, which they've had before, directly to Clark Hunt.
and then the general manager's role. We'll get into that in a second. But the fact that you have switched things,
right.
It seems to be more like a Packers model, a Falcons model.
Well, you cannot underestimate how important Mark Donovan is in this equation and what he does. And the history that he has with Andy Reid, it's something that I think is very, very important. You talk about the chemistry between everybody. I think that's important, the reporting. You know, there is a reporting style, reporting hierarchy to a degree, but when it comes down to it, Clark talked about it, Andy talked about it, it's about chemistry. That's what they're doing right now. They're developing chemistry.
Now, the general manager position becomes the next big thing, basically. You hear names like John Dorsey, who is highly regarded as a personnel man in Green Bay, Tom Hackert, who has worked with Andy Reid before in Philadelphia. We heard Clark Hunt earlier talk about what he wants to see in the computer-generated perfect general manager because he's got the perfect coach now to fit his description of a week ago. In your opinion, you've been in this league a long time. What has to happen in this general manager's role to make this a home run all the way through?
Well, first of all, the chemistry has to be there, Mitch. That's something that Clark talked about. That's something that Andy talked about. And when you talk about Dorsey, a former middle linebacker, had a five-year career with the Packers, this is a guy I love middle backers and backers in general because they just love football and they get into the game. This is a guy that I could see having a good track. Well, not could see. He does have a good track record for recognizing talent. He knows Andy. They have a relationship. So that's a good thing. Clark talked about it in terms of they're already in this this hunt. They've had interviews, didn't set a timetable, but let's be honest. We looked at what happened with the head coach. That was 7 days ago that you were having that conversation with Clark Hunt, and now you just announced the head coach. So you've got to believe that certainly the general manager position will be forthcoming.
Final question. I gave Clark Hunt this chance. I gave Derek Gunn of Comcast Philadelphia this chance. I gave Andy Reid this chance. Your thoughts and what you would tell the Chiefs Kingdom.
You know what? Chiefs Kingdom, you should be very, very excited. This is a man who is comfortable in his skin. He wants to do the right thing. I say it all the time. This is 15 years in the NFL, fans, right here. It's not about who's right. It's about what's right. And that's what Andy Reid is talking about. It's about what's right. He's going to evaluate. He's going to figure out the quarterback situation. He's going to figure out the defense. He's going to figure out all those things that he thinks helps make the Kansas City Chiefs a more competitive team, rather, for 2013.
And as we close, all I'm going to say is it's on. The passion is back.
It is so on.
It's
on,
brother. I'm telling you. We need a movie reference right here. The passion is back in the kingdom. It is time. I'm like you. Let's start this thing right now. Stay tuned to kcchiefs.com. We're going to keep you up to date. This is now day to day as the Chiefs move forward to become one of the premier teams in the National Football League. And it started today. Thanks for joining us.